This is 91.7 FM WHUS Stores. I am Peddlin' Ron, and you are listening to Bicycle Talk. It's May 11th, 2020. Well, welcome to Bicycle Talk with my friendly co-host, the lovely Dr. Fran Storch, a show where we talk about bicycles, bicycle culture, bicycle advocacy, upcoming news in cycling, bicycle business, the bicycle calendar. And if you have a comment, you'd like to contribute information to the show, you're listening on Facebook Live, you can comment at the Bicycle Talk Facebook page, or you can email me at bicycletalk1@gmail.com. We are recording our shows on Mondays now using Facebook Live and then playing them at our normal times on Wednesday at WHUS 91.7 FM. We will continue to do this until we are allowed back in the studio and the UConn campus. You can also listen to past episodes of Bicycle Talk on whus.org, iTunes, and now on Spotify. The views expressed on this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of the station. Ron's rant of the week. All right, here we go. Let's keep those group rides suspended. Okay, this is in response to Fran pointed out to me that she saw a post on Meetup where 40 cyclists were meeting in a parking lot last weekend for a quote-unquote safe ride. Not putting a really good word out here for cycling and cyclists if we are deciding that we are elite enough that we can do this and others can't. This is not a good idea. This is really, really not a good idea. It happened to be very, very close to a bicycle shop in that area. I alerted the owner of the bicycle shop as to the fact that he had a group ride going from his store, which he was completely unaware of. He was also so overwhelmed with business that that was another story. But so I don't even know if he got a chance to go out there and talk to them about it. But it just doesn't send a good word out about cyclists. They think they're beyond the coronavirus. I don't think so, you guys. So enjoy your rides with the newfound lack of motorized vehicles, but do it with respect and understanding, please. Just, I know this is, I'm tired of it too. I am totally tired of it. I get that part. I totally do. But anyway, on a positive side, the Airline Trail North. Okay, this is a post from Steve Sokolowski, who actually has a, I believe he has a Facebook page that is listed as Airline Trail North, if I'm not mistaken. And that Airline Trail North page, you can, you know, check and see what's going on up there. And it's my favorite part of the trail to ride on, personally, because of the lack of population on it. I really like that part a lot, although I'm beginning to wonder if that's still exists because of the number of cars I saw parked at the North Windham end this past weekend. It was pretty outstanding. So, Airline Trail North progress here. And thanks, Steve, for keeping us abreast of this. This is great that you're doing this. Progress being made on Pomfret to Putnam TAP grant project. First two pictures, he has pictures on the Facebook page, are at the Matic Road, where a culvert will take the airline under the road. Looks like they're pretty much ready to pop the prefab culvert in place. He doesn't have pictures from nearby Holmes Road, which is closed except for local traffic, which will also get a culvert. And it would seem that since similar equipment would be needed to do both culverts, they'll probably go in together. The last three pictures that he has on his Facebook site are from the Pomfret Station at Route 16944, where a bridge will span over the roadway. That is so cool. If you've ever tried to cross the road on 169, where the airline trail comes out there in Pomfret Station, it is it's life-threatening. It really is crazy because people who drive motorized vehicles, who are obviously not paying a whole lot of respect to speed limits, come ripping around that corner so fast, and it's blind. It's a blind corner. So you really are taking your life in your hands when you cross there right now. I use my ears to cross at that spot because you can't see them coming, but you can hear them when they're moving real fast. So There is going to be a bridge that's going to span that. There's an excavator that has shoveled a nice pad to start pouring a footing for the abutments for the prefab bridge. Silt fencing in place, but not much else happening on the north side at Needle's Eye Road, which will also get a bridge. So cool stuff. Thank you, Steve. Thanks for keeping. Look at that. That's the problem with Facebook Live. If you can, you people can see you when you make a mistake. It's not my radio face here. Anyway.
What?
But I slobbered. Anyway, May is bike month. Yeah, it's still bike month. In my word, it's still bike month. And yeah, I know the League of American Bicyclists has designated, and I'll say it again because I did say this last week in the show, that September 21st through the 27th will be Bike to Work Week 2020, and Bike to Work Day will be Tuesday, September 22nd. But to me, it's May. It's National Bike Month. This is, you know, this is what it is. It's just, it's that time of year. And it kind of fits into my normal brain schedule. So I mention it because there's just so many good things going on right now with cycling. And hi, Val Hoyle. I haven't heard that name in a while. Actually, I know I follow you on Twitter, Val. So that's kind of cool. She's, if you want to know, Val Hoyle and I will go back on this. We both used to work for Burley Bicycles many, many years ago, and truly one of my favorite people at Burley for sure. So, anyway, we've had a lot of good fun together. By the way, Val, the Best Buddies ride is like, you know, it's kind of, they're doing a virtual this year because it's supposed to be happening right now. So that's that. But that's how we met. We kind of did it by, we were doing neutral support for the Best Buddies ride. We were working on tandems, which Burley was making at that time. And so it was a really fun thing. So, anyway, shout out to Val Hoyle, who is now extremely politically active in the state of Oregon. Good for you, girl. That's a good thing. We need more Val Hoyles in the world. We really do. But anyway, give me a shout out sometime. Give me a call. I'd love to talk to you. It'd be really fun. Anyway, yes, National Bike Month is absolutely, it is this month, but it is being postponed until September. So we'll talk more about that. And I see that Bill Penn is on right now watching. And hello, Bill. And Bill, I have picked Bill up in the past up in Andover at the bridge on the Hop River Trail as I was riding into Hartford to do the Bike to Work Day celebration in Hartford. And so we would always find Bill waiting for us at the bridge, which is kind of cool. And then we would gather more and more people, and we would actually ride into Hartford and do the big celebration at the old State House. So it's a cool thing. It puts the word out. It shows people on bikes. It shows people on bikes that are concerned enough to ride their bikes to work. Right now, we're getting a lot of that right now. We're getting people who are essential and have to go to work. They are now, they're riding their bikes a lot more than they are driving their cars. So much so that, as I reported last week, the price of oil had dropped down to a record low of -$40 a barrel, which has not been reflected at the gas pumps, but I'm not going to make any statements here. But it doesn't really matter because we just ride bikes. So we don't care about that. But anyway, so this is a thing. It's still in my mind, bike month for May. Bike shops are booming. I have had some conversations with bike shop owners. And this is another positive side. I got a few of them on the list here today. We had Mike Machisco from Tony's Bikes and Sports down in Milford, Connecticut. If you're ever in Milford and you're looking for a great bike shop to go to, the folks at Tony's are wonderful. Mike's just, he's a cool guy. And I ended up in an hour-long conversation with him on the phone after last week's show, because we hadn't spoken in a while. You know, I used to call on him, and when I was a sales rep in the bicycle business. So anyway, we got a good chance to catch up, and I was on the phone for a while. And Fran said to me, "Who are you on the phone with?" And I said, "Oh, it's Mike Machisco." She goes, "Oh, that guy. Yeah, that guy. Hey, Mike. Big shout out. I know you're listening because I saw you tag it this morning. So anyway, yeah. What do you do when your suppliers run out of bicycles and you're in the middle of a bicycle boom? Yeah. Okay. So I've got some other things that I'm going to point on here in a bit. But yeah, the inventory is bad right now. It's not at a point of, okay, yeah, we're starting to run out of this model, starting to run out of that model. We're starting to run out of bicycles under $600 retail everywhere. Okay. If you're going to the bike shop and you think you're going to go in there and buy a bike, good luck. It's probably going to be only because you get smart retailers like Mike, who was smart enough to stock up on a lot of product. He had an opportunity. He took it and he jammed every nook and cranny and corner and warehouse space he could find with extra bicycles. So Mike was smart, and there are a lot of other retailers out there that were smart too. Oh, Mike just also put a comment here, up to $800 now. So if you're looking to buy a new bike right now, good luck if you can find anything below $800. Sean Guggen says even higher ended bikes also are starting to disappear. So yeah, this is like the moment those of us who've been in the bicycle industry and had bicycles as a part of our lives forever, this is the moment we've been waiting for. We wanted that next bike boom. Let's have that big bike boom so we can sell a lot of bikes, get more people, more, as we like to call it in the industry, more butts on bikes. Get more butts on bikes and get people out there enjoying what we know is like the ultimate thing. It really is. Bicycles are great. Good thing. So, but here we go. Now we're running out of things. Now we're running out of things like mad. Running out of essential parts and accessories. Things that you would put on your bike. Things you use to fix your bike. It's getting tighter. It's getting more difficult. So this is a problem. Why is it such a problem? Well, think about it. The coronavirus, as we know it at this time from whatever media we are listening to, seems to be reporting to us that this thing started in China. Well, guess where a lot of the bikes are made? Guess where a lot of the parts are made? They're all made in China. And because they're made in China, they have a problem. I gotta take that little shine off of me. There we go. See if that helps a little bit. We have a problem with being out of work for 2 months. So if the factories are shut for 2 months, then what happens? You have a big void in the industry. So, and then you add on to that, I had reported earlier back in February and March, we were talking about this, Taiwan, which was extremely proactive with their coronavirus experience. They pretty much shut everything down very, very quickly. They are currently not in such bad shape because they made the right response to it. They also shut down the Taipei show. And the Taipei show is that big bicycle show that the industry uses to do most of their preseason buying for the following year. So it really, it's when Shimano introduces its new line. It's when a lot of product lines are coming out that are helping bike builders or designers decide what they're going to put on their bikes, not this next season, but the following season after that. So without the Taipei show, we have a little bit of a problem. Mike says that Giant and Cannondale are very spotty. They have, we have bikes under 550, but there are holes in our inventory. So, yeah, this is quality bicycle products is limiting repair part quantities on many items like cranks, cassettes, etc. 11 speed are also sold out in most places. So yeah, it's hitting right now. So the bicycle shops are booming. That's positive. Moving on. The maintenance minute. Okay, this one comes from a friend, unnamed, but you know who you are if you're listening. I don't see you on my screen yet, but I know you'll listen to this later, who brought a bike by my house last week for me to check out as he was having a problem with his chain skipping. And, you know, he's fairly resourceful, so he bought a new chain, and he bought and he put that on first, and he had said something to me about it. And I said, well, you know, how old's the bike? And he said, it's pretty old. And I said, well, you know, that cassette probably has more than 5,000 or 6,000 miles on it. I would seriously consider, you know, changing the cassette. So he put a new cassette on, still skipping like crazy. I said, bring it over. Let me take a look at it. I take a look at it, and this is so funny. I looked and I said, well, here's your problem. And he said, what? It's brand new chain, brand new cassette. I didn't do anything wrong. Everything's working right. I said, look at your chain rings. Oh my God. His chain rings were, I'm trying to see if I can find this up here. His chain rings were so blasted that you could have sawed wood with them. They were just, they were sharp as sharp can be. And seriously, you could have sawed wood with them. They were that bad. They were that worn out. So what was happening was the chain was actually bouncing. It was actually skipping right over the top of the rings themselves. And that's why his bike was skipping whenever he put any kind of pressure on it. So I told him to immediately get some new chain rings for it. I sent him up to our local bicycle shop up in Stores, and he got some new chain rings for the bike. And you know, he can do light maintenance on the bike, so he's going to replace those with new chain rings. And there you go. Hopefully he will be able to get the chain rings now that I'm looking at these bike shortage problems. Hopefully that's not going to be a problem. So the importance of replacing worn chain rings cannot be overstated. This comment comes from a British site. And British have great bicycle sites, by the way. Big tip of the cycling cap to the British, because it seems like they have all sorts of cool stuff over there when it comes to bicycles. This is someone who said he knows someone who nearly died as a result of riding an excessively worn chainring. He was thrown off the bike while riding in front of a lorry. Fran, what is a lorry?
Yeah. It's a truck.
A truck.
It's a British truck.
Okay. Miraculously, the lorry stopped in time and the rider escaped unharmed, but Andy has kept the chain ring as a warning to others. He's lucky to be alive. So what does a worn chain ring look like? Well, you know, like I said, you could cut wood with them. They're really sharp looking, and that is really not a good thing. So you don't want to have that. You don't want to have that happening. It's pretty obvious, especially if you have, like, this gentleman had a triple crankset on the bike, and he never uses the inside ring, the otherwise known as Mother's Day pardon to the granny gear. Okay, so so that chain ring barely gets any use whatsoever. And if you took a look at the difference between the way the profile, the tooth pattern was versus the others, I mean, it was very, very easy to see. I spotted it in a second. So anyway, check your chain rings. And hey, if you've gone through, you know, two or three cassettes on the back of your bike, if you're doing the Ron method, which the Ron method generally is on my road bike, I'm a pretty light rider. I spin a lot. I can get about 1,500 to 1,800 miles out of a cassette, out of a chain before I replace it. And then I put a new chain on and then I ride the same cassette. I usually can get about 3 turns out of that. And then I gotta kick the cassette out and get a new one there. If you've gone through 2 or 3 or maybe more cassettes over that time period, those chain rings are gone. They're just toasted. So check them carefully and make sure it's gonna happen. So anyway, Mike Machisco says he looked through a weapon that looked like a big Chinese star that you could retrieve with magic. Yes, yes. As a matter of fact, this is, I do not recommend this, but it really is a
It's
fun
the
thing.
Movie Krull.
Oh, it's a movie Krull. Oh, okay. Okay. I see. Oh, so anyway, we used to take those, and this is, for you bike shops that are out there listening, you'll get a kick out of this, because I'm sure you've done it, because we've all done this. Come on. You take the empty bike box and you put it up against the wall, And then you take the absolutely blown chain ring, which is sharp as a razor, and you throw that at the box. It'll go right into it. It'll go right through it. it's really fun. So it's dangerous. It's fun. I don't recommend it. Tell no one you heard about it from Peddling Ron and Bicycle Talk. But, you know, it's a thing that we do when we want to stay entertained in the bicycle industry because, you know, we've got a lot of things that we need to do to entertain ourselves besides just fixing bicycles and talking to people about bicycles. So anyway, worn chain rings, big problem, not good. So anyway, this is something you want to check and you want to address. And if you have any concern about your chain rings and what kind of condition they're in, and you are, in doubt in any way as to whether you should replace your chain rings, then give your local bike shop a call and say, hey, can you like socially distance in the front of your store or the back of your store or wherever it is you're looking at bikes and take a look at my chain rings, and they'll come out and they will check it out. West France. Wow. Blast from the past. Jeff Yankee. Yeehaw. Wow. We're having some fun here. This is great. So anyway, that will move us on to the content of the show. And what is the content of the show? World's top bicycle maker says that the era of made in China is over. Okay, what does that mean? Well, it's looking like this is so all about supply chain. When President Trump announced his plan on 25% tariffs, took it seriously, Chairwoman Bonnie Tu said in an interview at Giant's Taichung City headquarters. We started moving before he shut his mouth. This is from a Bloomberg article of June 18th, 2019. So all the way back then, when we were having threats of big tariffs on bike product coming into the U.S., Giant Bicycle took the steps and started moving things around a little bit. Good move. Giant Bicycle Manufacturing Company saw the writing on the wall early on. The world's biggest bicycle maker started moving production of U.S.-bound orders out of its China facilities to its home base in Taiwan as soon as it heard Donald Trump threaten the tariffs action in September. When Trump announced the plan of 25% tariffs, we took it seriously, Chairman Bonnie Tu said in an interview with Giant at the Giant Taichung City headquarters. We started moving before he shut his mouth. So anyway, the trade war started as the biggest supplier of consumer goods for the bicycle industry said, we got to get out of here. So that's what's going to happen, is that if you're any kind of a manufacturing any products in the world, I think what you may have learned from this is you have to diversify your product. You can't just go to one spot, and it's not going to probably be best for your bottom line because, you know, you may not get that best high quantity price, but, you know, is it better to pay a little bit more and have 5 or 6 different manufacturers that are bringing in the quality product that you're looking for from different places around the world, or to not have any product at all? So Jeff Yankee says Cat 4 chain ring marks. Yeah, we know about those. This is something that is happening. It's happening worldwide. And now we are in the middle of it because all of a sudden everyone's out on their bikes. And if you don't think that everyone's out there on their bikes, go for a bike ride. Check it out. It's just like everywhere. It's unbelievable. Mike Machisco says, if it costs more to build in the USA and price needs to be digestible, what will they spec bikes with? Yeah, I know. It's true. You know, you're going to have to down-spec the bike to be able to produce it over here. And I don't think producing it over here is exactly the answer. I think that you just need to find different, you know, spreads of places to do it, like Giant Bicycles did. And they moved everything back towards Taiwan, which is where they originally started. And then now, there's also some fairly high quality manufacturing plants in Malaysia right now. I think that we're starting to see the results of Vietnam right now. I know in the materials business and in fabric, that Vietnam is, they're the rock star of
Why
of
can't
the
you build bikes in the U.S.?
Because it costs too much to do it. We have same reason we have with cars, and if you take a look at the cost of building a car here in the U.S., how many of our cars are truly built here in the U.S.?
Yeah, not really.
Not very many. We have a lot that are assembled in Mexico or in Canada.
There's some that are assembled here.
Some are assembled here, but most of the parts, if you take a look, are going to be made in
Asia.
You know, and not just elsewhere, but in Asia. A lot of them are going to be in Asia.
Japan.
And Korea, you'll see a little bit from Eastern Europe that's coming out because, you know, again, the costs are super low over there as far as that goes. But we just don't have... We can't manufacture those parts and build that car or that bicycle for the same price as you can build them over there. There was a company called Kent who was building bikes here in the U.S. and they were promising they were going to continue to do it. I don't know. I haven't followed up on them recently to find out exactly what they're doing. But it's just really, really difficult to keep that price where you want it. I mean, you're not driving an American car. I'm not driving an American car. And the thing is, it's like, you know, they're
Cars might have been assembled in the U.S., though.
Our cars may have been assembled in the U.S.
Yeah.
I'm not sure exactly what that company does.
Mm-hmm.
But,
definitely some Kia factories in the U.S.
Yeah, and they're probably assembly plants. And that's how they're keeping down on tariffs, because otherwise they'd be paying higher tariffs and then we'd be paying higher prices for the cars when we're buying the cars. But the same thing with bicycles. Maybe it's time to start moving, you know, the assembly back to the U.S. and have a little bit more control over it. Although, hey, Greg Hunter Braithwaite, hello from Santa Cruz, California. Hey, cool. Hey, how is it out there in Santa Cruz right now?
Early.
It's early. Yeah, well, that's true. It is early. But what's the weather like in Santa Cruz? It must be gorgeous. It's always gorgeous in Santa Cruz. It is. It's a beautiful place. Anyway, that's what you get when you live on the ocean.
It's greater San Francisco. It's south
of the Bay Area. It's nice in Santa Cruz. It's really nice.
Really?
Yeah. And the beach is right there, and that's cool. So beautiful and perfect, Greg says. Yeah, I'm sure it is. So anyway, yeah, we gotta rethink this whole global bicycle manufacturing thing because it is causing a huge, huge problem. So here's a shout out no-brainer out there for you, Fran. You're gonna like this one a lot. Indoor trainers lead cycling sales for the month of March.
I'm shocked. I'm so shocked.
This was published May 8th in Bicycle Retail and Industry News, otherwise known as BRAIN to all of us out there that are in the industry or had been in the industry.
So just so you know, 11,900 people are Zwifting right now.
Yeah, I'm sure they are. And you were one of them this morning.
I was.
You were. You were on the Zwift machine there
this
morning.
Yes, I rode with the Fearless crowd.
Sales of indoor trainers and rollers grew nationally by 268% year over year in March. And the recreational and children's BMX bike sales also increased as COVID-19 pandemic led to states issuing stay-at-home orders. Besides the trainer and roller sales increase, March retail sales data from the MPD Group showed that stationary bike sales were up 170%, adult recreational bikes were up 121%, and children's BMX bikes up 56%. IBD, independent bicycle dealer, repair service sales jumped 20%. The quote here is that consumers are looking for outdoor and kid-friendly activity to better tolerate the challenges associated with stay-at-home orders, and cycling fits the bill well, said Dirk Sorensen, MPD sports and industry analyst. Growth is stemming largely from children's BMX and adult leisure bikes that carry a more approachable price point than some of the more expensive bike styles that were selling prior to the COVID-19 crisis. Ultimately, more people are liking riding today than in years past. And again, I talked about this last week. This is our moment. This is our time to shine. If you are in any way connected with your local political scene, open your mouth, shout from the rooftops, do whatever you need to do. We need better bicycle infrastructure in this country. We need better infrastructure in general, but we need better bicycle infrastructure and pedestrian infrastructure in this country right now. We need it today, not tomorrow, yesterday even. We need it right now. Let's get this thing going. The only way you get things like this going is by making some noise about it. You don't have to be violent. You don't have to be nasty about it. You can just get out and you can make a statement. Let them know. Write to people. Get people to sign petitions, whatever it may be. I discovered riding my bicycle with my family while I was quarantined. And I love it, and I want it safer. I want it safer for my future, for my kids' future. This is not a big deal. It's really, really not a big deal. Billy says, watch in a year, there'll be a ton of trainers for sale. Yeah, that's very possible. It could happen. Although, you know, it's convenient, and that's what it is. When I teach my spin classes up at the community center, which I have not been doing for quite some time now, when I'm up there, the people that are riding at that time of day and they're taking that hour out of their day to ride, they're not going, a lot of them aren't going to ride outside. I do have some outdoor fitness people that do that and they still ride on the weekends, but they just, you know, they need their structured training, and the trainer is a great way to get it. So I don't know if they'll all be for sale in a year, but you know, there may be some for sale. It's quite possible. We don't all have great weather. This spring here in New England has been tragic. 2 days ago, was it 2 days ago? It was snowing out. It's May. It's not supposed to be snowing in May.
Just going
to
let you know that, yeah. Saturday, the prediction is for sunny and 72.
Ooh, and then there's that. So we're Santa Cruz.
So we're going to ride our bikes on Saturday.
Yeah, we will ride outside on Saturday, yeah, at 72 degrees. Mm-hmm. I guarantee we will do, yeah, that. That's I will forego any more indoor projects on that one for, yeah, sure. So, anyway, this is the trainers. Schools closed, sports leagues canceled. You know, we're looking at just an amazing amount of people buying trainers. And I believe, actually, we own a little shout out to the folks at Wahoo. We own a kicker. And a friend of ours ended up buying a kicker. And I think there was about a 15 or 20 day delay, and that was it. And she got her trainer. So, which is amazing to me, because I would think that they would be sold out forever. And I don't know where their product source is from, but that's really, really good. Jed's riding at least 100 miles on Saturday. Yeah, I'll bet you are. Yes, sirree. And Laura, what are you going to do on Saturday? Are you going to ride on Saturday too? I'll bet she will. She'll probably take the whole family out. That's what she does. She's like, you know, she is the, a big shout out to Laura Mullaly, by the way. Okay. Big shout out. Talk about a Mother's Day. Now there's a mom for you. She got her whole family into cycling. I'm just, you know, you get a major tip of the cycling cap from me, Laura. That's a good, good thing. Anyway, the ultimate mom gets their entire family riding bicycles. That's the ultimate mom. That's a beautiful thing. So anyway, the trainers are a big deal. In the bicycle sales are a big deal. There is a company called the Pros Closet, which sells used bicycles or lightly ridden bicycles. And they are aiming at helping local bike dealers weather the current storm. They're a Boulder-based e-commerce brand that offers to buy unsold product inventory from retailers. That's not going to happen. And offers new trade-in benefit to outdoor industry employees. The Pros Closet, the world's largest, most trusted brand in pre-owned cycling, has announced that the company is reaching out to retailers who are affected by the current social and economic conditions. The Pros Closet is willing to make offers on any unsold or new inventory or used bicycles that dealers have taken on trade. By providing immediate revenue, the Pros Closet believes that they are able to help independent bicycle retailers weather the current storm and come out on the other side of it with a healthy, viable business. Any dealer interested should contact the Pros Closet. And so here's the thing. If you're going to take a reasonable trade-in in for a bicycle that you just sold, you're probably going to have a really good chance of reselling it if you're out of bikes. So this is a nice gesture on their part, but I don't know if it's really going to work out that way. The problem is, Mike Wachisco says that used bicycle prices are way down since the Bicycle Blue Book became a thing. Yeah, I don't like that Bicycle Blue Book. That's just awful. That's an awful thing. So there's, you know, in the automobile industry, there's Edmunds and there's Kelley Blue Book, and there, you know, there are resources to find out, you know, what your car is worth when you go to trade it in. And I don't know if this is true or not, but I think it's influenced heavily by the new car dealers that are looking to give you as little as they possibly can when you go to trade your car in. But I may be wrong on that. I'm not sure. But that, unfortunately, the Blue Book thing is a real problem, because it takes a perfectly good bicycle that is still in extremely good working order, especially one that has very, very few miles on it, doesn't have worn chain rings like our buddy from earlier here, but is in really good shape. I've got a Santana Tandem hanging in the garage that I got through a friend, and I looked up the Blue Book value on it, and it's an older bike. You know, it has STI shifting. I think it's an 8-speed or something like that. I think it's an 8-speed. It's an old steel Tandem. It's great shape, and it's, you know, it's just like, it's beautiful, and I'm fixing it up and getting ready to use it for probably not Fran and I, but because I don't know if she'll feel comfortable on the back of that thing. But it's in great shape. And the Blue Book value on it was like $600, which is ridiculous. There's no such thing as a $600 Tandem, the Santana Tandem. Uh-uh. Not happening. So anyway, the problem is that, you know, there's not a good value on that Blue Book, that Bicycle Blue Book thing has really kind of screwed things up a bit. Best thing for you to do if you are looking to buy a used bicycle and you want to get one that's actually going to work for you and is going to give you the value that you paid for, is go to a bike shop. Go to a local bike shop. The local bike shops are there to serve you, and they're tired. They're hopefully not in the August mindset yet. We call it the August mindset out here in the Northeast. That's that time when you've been dealing with bicycles all summer long, and you've been dealing with interesting personality customers all year long, and you get to the point where you become, well, a little short, which you shouldn't do that. That's not good retail. It really isn't. They will be back next year, or they will not be back next year if you handle it one way or the other. So anyway, I just hope that we're not getting the August syndrome here right now, because it could be happening. It could definitely be happening. So just be patient, you guys. Hang in there. I know it's hard. This puts an entirely different twist on the whole situation, but you guys are awesome. You are our two-wheeled heroes, and we really appreciate what you're doing, because I know that you're working super hard. So, look, I coughed into my elbow. Isn't that good? Anyway, so that's what the Pros Closet is doing. Burley and People for Bikes, they are collaborating to promote bike commuting with a limited edition Travoy. A Travoy is a very interesting, it's like a, how can I explain this? You know how you go to the airport and you got your rolling luggage thing that you're dragging through the airport? Well, it's that, but it goes on the back of your bike. So you can pack all your stuff in there, and then you can, you know, haul stuff around. You can go grocery shopping with it. Interesting personality customers. Haha. Yeah, it's good. It is good. Yeah, that's probably the kindest thing I can say. But, you know, as a good friend told me who was in the customer service business and had many employees that were there, remember, after one of those days when you have been serving the general public all day long, when you turn the lock and the key on that door and step out of that business, you become the general public. Remember that. It's a good one. That's a shout out to Todd Friedland. I always love that story. That's one of my favorites. So anyway, the travoy is this like really cool thing that you can pull behind your bike, and it kind of looks like a piece of luggage, and yet it's got little wheels on it, and you can, you know, carry a lot of stuff with it. So Burley has worked with the folks for People for Bikes, and they've teamed up to encourage bicycle transportation as a viable alternative form of commuting with the launch of a limited edition travoy. During this time of social distancing, this urban cargo trailer offers a great solution for riders who are looking to easily transport all their essentials to and from work, as well as around town on essential errand runs, acting as the perfect bicycle accessory for urban mobility and local adventure. During these uncertain times, people are looking for alternative models of transportation as more and more people are switching to bikes. Burley is proud to collaborate with People for Bikes to contribute to making the transition from car to bicycle a seamless one. Jose Maldonado, director of marketing for People for Bikes, had this to say: our staff of 25 dedicated individuals have been working remotely across the U.S. to continue supporting riders from all walks of life. While we are making the best of opportunity to spend more time at home, our mission hasn't changed, and we're still working to make biking better for everyone. So if you want to see more or hear more about People for Bikes, you go to peopleforbikes.org, and you can check out what they do nationally. Talk to them a little bit about, you know, maybe becoming a member. That's not a bad thing. It's another way that you can politically shout out for what we need as cyclists here in the U.S. So check them out. People for Bikes. That's who you're looking for. And we did this one. We did this one. So I got to lighten it up here a little bit. All right. We're always, I mean, it's ridiculous how much this stupid COVID-19 has taken over our lives and our industry and everything that is around us. It's making it a very, very challenging situation to be a parent when you've got kids running around your house right now, and you're trying to not only deal with the fact that they're really impatient and they've had enough of it, they're not off at school, but you're also helping them with their school. And you are then, it's just a strain, I know, but boy, get them out on a bike. Just take them out for an hour, go for a ride, go burn them up a little bit. You know, I call it like, run the stallion, run it hard and then bring it back, and it'll be a lot easier to work with. That comes from an old horse friend of mine. But anyway, it's trying times right now. So we got to lighten up a little bit. So I found this little piece a while ago, and I've been meaning to bring it up, and I keep pushing it aside because we got all this silly virus garbage going on. So you know you're a cyclist when, okay, what makes you out as part of the cycling fraternity? We suggest the following criteria, which apply to you. And Fran, you are more than welcome to jump in on this one. Rituals, opinions, general peculiarities of the cyclist might seem outlandish or just downright weird to the casual observer, but these are things that unite us. Who hasn't absentmindedly nodded at a fellow rider while driving their car? You do that. I know you do that. And who among us can honestly claim that they've never been caught checking their tan lines in the mirror? Mm-hmm. Okay.
I have some very faint ones right now.
Yeah. Well, we are a bit strange, but we wouldn't have it any other way. And this is from the British magazine Cycling Weekly, and they present a celebration of our collective idiosyncrasies that with invaluable input from both readers and pro cyclists on what makes us uniquely well similar. what the pros say. You walk into a cafe, your face barely visible for all the mud, and someone asks you, good day? And that was from Chris Boardman, Olympian and Tour de France legend. The next one on here, you constantly criticize other riders' saddle heights, even when you're driving the car. I do that all the time. And your other half has to hide her razors from you. That's from Matt Stevens, cycling commentator and ex-pro. When spending just a week without riding your bike makes you twitchy. No comment. That's Ole Beckingsale, Olympic, Commonwealth, and British racing stalwart. You think nothing of taking a leak anywhere. Getting changed in front of strangers feels normal. And when you do your pre-race sportif shopping, the checkout girl asks you if it's for a kid's party. That was from Steve Lampier, a British domestic pro. You realize that all your close friends are also cyclists and that you've known most of them for decades.
Yeah, you know, that's true.
That's from Chris Walker, the 1991 milk race winner for Raleigh Banana. The results are in. The first time you shave your legs, okay, you struggle to know exactly how far up you should go and when to stop. Before you know it, you've gone too far. You spend more time on Strava, Garmin Connect, and Training Peaks than you do with your family. Oh, these are sad. You vow to put all of your clean, piled up clothes back in the wardrobe only to remember the reason why that they're in the utility room to start. Your wardrobe's completely full of cycling kit, color-coded, and hung according to weather conditions. Can I look at you for that? You know your way around Garmin better than you know than you do your mobile phone, with the exception of the fitness and cycling apps. I just keep looking back at you.
I don't have a Garmin.
Right here, by the way, here's Fran. Hi Fran.
I don't have a Garmin.
I know, but you have everything else.
Well, I have it's all on my phone.
I know. Yeah. I know. So yeah. You've fallen off your bike at a standstill, even if it was just the once, when you forgot you were clipped at a set of lights. It's okay. We're sure no one saw you.
I knew I was clipped in. I was at a stoplight, and everyone saw me because it was 5:30 on a Wednesday.
I had a lovely moment when I clipped over on my bike and you know I tipped over and I didn't even have clipless pedals back then. I did have, okay, here we go. Rack your brains, folks. How old are you? I had Campy SL pedals on my bike. I had Cinelli toe clips on the bike and Binda Extra straps. You know Binda Extras? Binda Extras were the ones that had the reinforcement that went through the center of the leather. Remember those? And to add to that, I was riding on Pavron cleats. And if anybody goes back in time as far as I do, you know what a Pavron cleat is. It's the deepest cleat they made at the time because you wanted to really be secure on your bike, especially if you were a strong climber and you wanted to be able to push and pull as hard as you could, coming back more pull than anything else going up the hills. And that's what I wanted because that's what I was. So therefore there it was. So anyway, I was in downtown Norwich, Connecticut, and I came to a stop at a stoplight very quickly because everything changed really quick and the car jammed on the brakes in front of me. So I popped up into the back of the car, put my hand on the trunk of the car and balanced myself. And now I am locked in. I'm locked in tight. I'm thinking, I need to get out of this now. So I'm reaching down so carefully to get to my toe strap because the guy is looking at me in the rear view mirror like, get your hands off my car. And I reached down and the next thing he saw were my two wheels up in the air in the same place that I was. And I was flat on my back in the middle of the road. And I had attracted a rather large crowd. So, yeah, that was my tip-over cycling moment. I have done it. I did do it once and only once on my bike when I went to clipless pedals. And then I learned very quickly that when you clip out on the right pedal, you lean to the right and not to the left. So that's a thing. So little side story there about falling off your bike at a standstill. you read training manuals instead of novels, and diarize data rather than life events. Okay.
Diarize. You put it in a diary.
Right. Yeah. Rather than your life events. Okay.
Oh, yeah. I do that.
Yeah. You take a photo of your legs after a ride, flex your quads for better definition. You take 9 photos of this before you find one you're happy with. Not that a cyclist or vain or anything.
I can't do that. I do have a picture of the year of the, a picture of my legs, the year of the gypsy moths.
Yeah.
Where I came back from a ride.
Oh, you came back with gypsy moths splatter all
over. Oh, yeah. That was a good time.
It was really disgusting. When you get up, it's still dark on a miserable wet Sunday morning, so you can get a few hours of riding in before the family wakes up and you're downstairs looking out of the window drinking coffee when the kids trot in downstairs.
In other words, you didn't make it out. See, I would get on Zwift. It's a wet Sunday morning.
Exactly.
I'm on the Zwift.
Wet Sunday morning. There's no point getting outside. Not at all. Metal on wood. So... you not only have defined tan lines on your quads, lower calves, and upper arms, but far from being embarrassed, you consider them a badge of honor.
Absolutely.
Just ignore those sideways glances from the public swimming pool when you're wearing your Speedo. They just don't understand how hardcore this makes you.
Some women are vain about their tan lines. Yeah, they don't like them.
I know.
And I'm not. I don't care. I don't have time to care about stuff like that. I'm lucky I go get a haircut.
I used to ride with a woman who had to like jack her shorts as high up as she could because she was concerned about her front tan lines. So.
Oh, that's so weird.
Yeah, it's not weird. It's a thing.
I'd rather not chafe.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't. If somebody is concerned about my tan lines, they should get a life.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. They should be more concerned about how many more bikes they can
also,
get.
Also, you don't care about my tan lines, do you?
I don't care about your tan
lines. No. So, what do I care?
I do not. You sport an unsightly mark on the inside of your right calf that looks suspiciously like the oily outline of your big chain ring. Don't panic. Everyone's been there at some point. Just don't line up for a race with a Cat 4 tattoo unless you fancy being the butt of everyone's jokes for the next hour.
I think that the joke of a Cat 4 tattoo is a meme and it's stupid because anybody can be standing and holding their bike and lean their bike against their leg and get a chain ring tattoo. I don't know why that's not a badge of honor like the weirdy tan lines are. No, it's something that the reason that you get the chain ring tattoo apparently is because you gripped your legs in too tight towards the middle of the bike.
This spoken from someone who often comes home with a Cat 4 tattoo.
What does that even mean? Why is it such a big deal? I think you guys are weirdos for making it such a big deal.
I'll let readers comment or listeners comment on that one.
Get over yourselves. You know that people actually will go to the tattoo parlor and they'll get a chain ring tattoo.
Yeah.
A real one.
And that's fine. That's fine. And if you get it on the inside of your right calf, then no one will know whether or not it was real or not. So there you go. So you're protected in some way. You can confidently reply to the accusation that cyclists don't pay road tax with, actually, the road tax was abolished in 1937. Oh, England, you're so much more on top of it than we are. And the other thing is, as far as road tax goes, you do know that has nothing to do with driving a motorized vehicle, right, folks? You know that that comes from your federal income tax, not from the gas tax? Okay. Just making a point. We have to look at all weather forecasts 5 times before you plan your free time. I there's someone over here who definitely does that. I know that. Not only that, but we are anal enough about it here that we're also looking very seriously at wind direction. Because the wind direction has everything to do with what direction you ride your bike that day. You always, this is a Ron's rule in the long list of Ron's rules, but you always ride out into the headwind and come back with the tailwind. That way you can feel like you have a level of fitness, which is, you know, greater than what it really is when you're coming back. When you're going out, that's a good, but you know, I'm not a big advocate of average speed riding anyway. I think it's kind of silly. I'm more of an advocate of how many hours did I get out today on my bike. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. That way, if you're comparing time versus speed, it's a better feeling. It's just a better feeling. You reach for food in your jersey pocket while you're sitting at your desk at work. Ooh, that's serious. You start to think that one of the 7 days of the week is actually called rest day. That's funny. You have more water bottles than cups in the kitchen. Oh, you should see.
Be quiet.
You should see the amount.
Just be quiet.
See. I can always touch a nerve on this stuff when I have Fran here with me. So you put your arm out before turning the trolley in Tesco without thinking. Of course, these are from Britain, so yeah. So anyway, you're actually helping the person drive the trolley because you're putting your hand out. You look for a suitable road bike for your 7-year-old child just so they can go riding with you. There you go.
Aw.
That's nice. Readers on domestic disharmony. How much time we doing here? We're doing good. Hey, I need to know if I'm alive. Yeah, we're recording. So we got a little bit of time left, and then I'm going to have to move on. When you need twice as much wardrobe space as your husband just to accommodate all your cycling kits. Twice? That's all? You don't want to know what goes on in our house. You get in trouble with your girlfriend for checking out other girls when you were actually just looking at their bikes. Ah, that's a good one. When your housemate complains about tripping over your bike for the 100th time and can't understand why it doesn't live outside.
We don't have that problem.
Well, you should live outside. The bikes can stay in.
Bikes have to come
in. That's right. Bikes have to come in.
Well, because they can't. You're not going to leave a bike outside when it's too hot. You're gonna ruin the paint job, and you're gonna ruin the tires. And it can't be out when it's too cold either.
You're right. Right.
Because the oil, the lube will get hard.
Okay.
No, bikes have to come inside.
Which brings us to our next one. You bring your best bike in from the shed because the nights are getting colder. Your wife says, it's me or the bikes, and you really have to think about it.
And Sean, you should really have a different wife because he doesn't have that problem.
Yeah, no, we don't have that problem here. You have a secret credit card that your wife knows nothing about. Oh, there it is. I have stories I could tell you.
Really?
From bike shops. Oh my God. Yes. That is not uncommon. That
wow.
is not uncommon at all. Not only that, this one comes from the folks at Berlin Bike back when there was a Berlin Bike before it became Pedal Power. And they had a customer who was in there, and I'm going to run out of time. And he made sure that he bought the same color bike as a bike that he already had. And he kept that bike he already had at the bike shop and brought the new bike home. And he said his wife will just know that it's just the blue bike. She didn't know the difference between them. Boy, oh boy. Anyway, you know what, folks? I'm running out of time. We can explore more of this next week because it's definitely lighter side, and I have another piece that I can put on the lighter side. I'm thinking that maybe that's something we should incorporate into the show from now on. We need an on the lighter side because everything is just too heavy right now, except for my bike. My bike's pretty light. It's pretty nice. Anyway, so that's what we're going to have to do. We're just going to have to move on down the list here. The cycling calendar. Need I say more? I just don't feel good about the cycling calendar. There have been some changes at the Farm to Fork Fondos. Go to the website and check and see what's going on there. They are still trying to keep things alive for everyone, so check it out. The 9th annual Thread City Cycler Century Ride, July 26, 2020, still on as far as we know. We're not sure. Pedlin, Ron, and Fran ride on these roads. These are nice roads. Also, the Steeplechase Bike Tour, August 15, 2020. There are some changes I will talk about in the next show. So that's basically it. That's it. The views expressed on this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of this station. You have been listening to Bicycle Talk with my co-host, Fran Storch, a show where we talk about bicycles, bicycle culture, bicycle advocacy, upcoming news in cycling, the bicycle business, and the bicycle calendar. If you've been listening to this on Facebook Live, on the Bicycle Talk Facebook page, or on podcast, and you'd like to comment, you can send an email to bicycletalk1@gmail.com. And you can also listen to past episodes of Bicycle Talk on whus.org, iTunes, or now on Spotify. If you'd like to contribute information to the show or be on the show as a guest, send an email to bicycletalk1@gmail.com. This is Pedalin' Ron. Remember, keep the rubber side down and the wind at your back. Get out and ride your bike. This is 91.7 FM, WHUS Stores. Thanks for listening.